Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. This is God's Word. "I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and because of his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. There are three things in this passage that I want us to focus on this morning. The first is a solemn charge. Paul has been writing to Timothy. This is the second of his letters that we have to Timothy. And in this letter, he is encouraging a fellow to go beyond his natural inclinations, to go beyond his personality and innate gifts, and rely instead upon the person and work of the Holy Spirit, who has gifted him to do more than comes naturally. From time to time, I amuse people with my steadfast conviction that I am by nature a shy individual. You might not guess that just naturally. Most of my life, I've been placed in positions of leadership and public eye, and so people just assume that that is what comes naturally. The fact of the matter is, if you give me a role, whether it is preaching or whether it is carrying the beverages from table to table so that people can get what they need, I'm totally happy. But if I have to just try and socialize with folks, I am miserable. I often skipped, and I am very tight, by the way. If something is already paid for, I feel like it's my responsibility to consume it. And the fact is, I missed meals in the dining hall in college because I couldn't bring myself to go over there and have to find a place to sit. I mean, I was so painfully shy in college. This is not in kindergarten, though it was true in kindergarten too. But, I mean, by nature, I just feel incredibly awkward. And the idea of trying to go up and introduce myself or say, "May I sit here," or whatever, that just kills me. So I would rather skip a meal that's already paid for than endure that. Okay? So how does a person who's painfully shy end up doing the work of an evangelist, pastoring a church? How does that happen? Well, it happens when you learn to go beyond what comes naturally and do what God's telling you to do. And I don't think God was telling me I had to go over and eat in the dining hall. But I'll tell you something. I can relate both to Timothy, who had to go way outside of his comfort zone in order to do what God was calling him to do, and I can relate to the Apostle Paul, who had to try and encourage him to go way outside his comfort zone. Because part of my responsibility as a pastor is to encourage people to use their gifts, even when it's like, that's just not me. And it's like, no, but it is God in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And the reason you need to do this is not because you enjoy it. The reason you need to do this is because it's what God calls his people to do. So the charge that is given in this passage is a very solemn charge, and he says, I want you to understand, Timothy, that what I'm telling you here is not just my opinion, it's not just from me, it's not good advice from a wise old uncle. This is a charge in the sight of God and Christ Jesus, who's going to judge us when he comes again. Okay? Look again at verses 1 and 2. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and because of his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. Now, that is not a command to all Christians. But Christians should know that that is what a preacher is supposed to do. Preachers are not supposed to come up with new things you've never heard before. Preachers are supposed to rehearse the eternal word of God. Our job is to remind all of us, including the preacher, what it says. Preach the word. Preach the word. That's a preacher's job. Okay? So you might like what this person says, but is it biblical? Is it an agreement? I've heard sermons that did deal with the text and basically encouraged people not to take it so seriously. Okay? This was written to these people long ago. It doesn't really apply to us particularly today. And you're going to just create a horrible nightmare if you try and live like this. Okay? I mean, really, that is what some preaching is. It's basically saying, well, I know the Bible says this, but it doesn't really mean that, okay? Well, what does it mean? Well, it was written to people a long time ago. It's a different thing. Just don't worry about it. Well, don't worry about it. Obey it. Believe and obey the Word of God. So preach the Word. That is a very concise statement of the primary responsibility of a pastor. Okay? Now, is that all a pastor does? No. The pastor's supposed to show God's love for the flock in other ways too. But folks, if this is missing, it's like a body with no skeleton. It just doesn't work. You've got to have a backbone. You've got to have an underlying structure that is solid and doesn't change. So, Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. That means all the time. Well, this isn't a very good time. Well, I'm not really ready. Well, get ready, because you need to be ready all the time. All the time. Always be ready to preach the word. Again, one of my favorite images of the Apostle Paul, who's writing this letter to Timothy, is when he didn't go to the temple in order to preach, he went to the temple in order to worship, and while he was there, he was slanderously accused of something he hadn't done, and a mob tried to kill him. And the Romans rode to the rescue, and as they carry him out, he says, Could I please speak to them? And what he wants to do is to share with them the truth of the gospel and how they can be saved. That's amazing. If there was a group of people that were trying to kill you, would you be concerned that they need to be saved? Or would you be wanting God to send down fire from heaven and destroy them on the spot? That would be my prayer. They deserve to die. And you know what? They do deserve to die. But so did Paul. And so do I. And so do you. All of us deserve God's wrath. And God has chosen to show mercy. God has given us good news in Christ Jesus. He loves us. And he has provided our salvation in Christ. And so now our job, all the time, in season and out of season, is to be proclaiming his good news. That's our job. And then he says, here's what it'll look like. Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. I've said numerous times, Satan is a judo expert. Okay? He doesn't care if you go in this direction or that direction. He just doesn't want you to walk straight. I have been in churches where there was a lot of rebuking going on. And numerous attempts continually at correction. I'm going to tell you that you can't keep doing that. You must stop. You must change. You must turn. Repent. And then you're going to thank me as you walk out the door. And the next week you'll come back and count on me to, in the words of numerous people who've spoken to me after the service, step on our toes. Okay? Well, some people need more than stepping on their toes. They need a punch in the nose. Okay? Sometimes we need to be hurt. Sometimes we need for someone to do something that is painful in the way that they deliver the message of God to us. Because we need rebuke. We need correction. We also need encouragement. And preaching the word involves all three of those as it's presented here in the text. Rebuke, correct, encourage. Now suppose, as a pastor, that I discover my congregation prefers the encouragement part. I think I'm just going to leave the rebuking and correcting to somebody else. They can get that on their own. My job is to encourage. And so, whatever you're going through, I want you to feel better when you come here. It's going to be ceaseless affirmation all the time, telling you, don't be discouraged. You're better than you think. Good times are coming, and you are going to be part of the solution because you're more special than you know. And I just want you to feel good today. Because we've got plenty of things out there in the world to bring us down. Church needs to build us up. Can we all just agree that things are going to get better? I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to say, you're amazing. Okay? Let's just do that. I mean, let me tell you, that's what a lot of churches are doing. But that's not preaching the whole counsel of God. It is not what Timothy was commanded to do. If you're going to preach the word all the time, it means you've got to include rebuke, correction, and encouragement. And again, the devil doesn't care which part of that you want to leave out. He just wants to be sure you don't do the whole thing.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So that's the charge. Now, what follows is a statement about a contrast. He says, do this because the time is going to come when people won't put up with the truth. The time will come when tolerance will mean not tolerating the truth. Look at it, verse 3. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. That's a clear contrast. On the one hand, you have truth. On the other hand, you have lies. Myths will mislead. And God calls us to embrace the truth even when it's difficult. Have you ever not stepped on the scale because you didn't want to know what it said? Have you ever not wanted to go to the doctor because you were afraid you might have some horrible condition? The Word of God shows us the truth about God and about ourselves. And there are a lot of people who don't like that. They do not want to face the truth about God or about themselves. And so they will go to great lengths to try and avoid it. But you can't just come up empty. You can't just try and run from the truth. You've got to have a substitute. You're going to feed on something. And so what these people will do is they will accumulate for themselves a collection of sources from which they can be told what they want to hear. We find ways to hear what we want to hear. Paul describes it as having itching ears. We've got to hear a lie because we want to believe a lie. Because that gives us something to chew on instead of the truth. And so Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves, because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They'll turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. Well, what do you do if you're living in a culture like that? Well, as for you, you can't control what they do. You got to control what you do. As for you, exercise self-control in everything. Now that's, I mean, if we just took that phrase, we could work on that for a while, couldn't we? Exercise self-control in everything. Some of us think we only need to exercise self-control in certain things, right? As long as I don't go off the deep end on this or on this, I'm okay. I can be crazy about this. Exercise self-control in everything. And next phrase, endure hardship. What do you do if you get into a really difficult situation? Endure it. No, but I want to know, how do I get out of it? Die. Okay? In this life, there will be things that are hard. That's the nature of the world we live in. But that doesn't mean that God's upset with you or that you must have done something wrong. Because if you'd been smart, if you'd seen that coming, if you'd played it right, if you hadn't done this or you had done that, you wouldn't be going through hardship. Yeah, you would. Okay, you might not be going through that hardship. You might be going through this one instead. But You can't escape this life without difficulty. Nobody gets out of here alive, metaphorically speaking. Physically, you and I are going to die. And for most of us, that is a very unpleasant process. But life is hard. So what do you do with hardship? Endure it. Exercise self-control in all things. Endure hardship. And do the work of an evangelist. Well, I thought evangelist was one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is. So not everybody is gifted as an evangelist. That's correct. But if you're a pastor, you have a task of evangelism as part of your pastoral duties. Okay? It's not enough to say, well, our church really doesn't do evangelism. We're just into teaching. Okay? Or we're a worship-oriented church. You know, some churches are really big on teaching. We're worship. That's what we're about. Okay? Let me tell you, any church that's not into worship is not doing what it's supposed to do. Any church that is not into teaching the Word of God is not doing what it's supposed to do. And any church that is not pursuing evangelism is not doing what it's supposed to do. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Ah, now that's not just for pastors. We're not all called to be an evangelist. We are all commanded to be his witnesses. And we all have a ministry to fulfill. Not everybody has the same ministry, but all of us have ways of serving within the body. And so whatever your particular ministry is, fulfill it. Do it. Okay? And then Paul describes what's coming. It's a waiting crown. Do you live your life with a desire to win? Well, this is going to sound very uncharacteristic for my personality because I believe that we should not give trophies to everybody. But do you know what it says here? Paul says, I'm going to get a crown. And then he says, and so is everyone else who's been looking forward to the Lord's return. Really? Well, I mean, what do I have to do in order to be a winner? Love Jesus and look forward to seeing him. I mean, now that'll change the way you do other stuff. If you really long to see the Lord, you're going to be involved in evangelism. Because Jesus said that he's not coming back until all the tribes and tongues and people and nations have had an opportunity to hear the message. So if you really long for his return, it's going to impact the way you live and the way you invest. You're going to want to support the spread of the gospel. But I'll tell you something. I am so glad that this passage does not say, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but to the top 10%. He didn't say that. But to all those who have loved his appearing. You love Jesus? You're not just going to heaven. You're going to get a crown. You're going to get a crown because it's based on his victory. He has already won the victory. And because of that, you're not just going to squeak into heaven. You're going to be greeted by the Father who loves you, who sent his Son to die for you so that you could have eternal life. So when you're enduring hardship, remember the crown. Remember what's coming. Remember that even though you may feel like Paul, I've got to be getting near the end of the journey. My life is being poured out like a drink offering. It's okay. When this one's over, you're going to get a crown. That's good news.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.